The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome, a warm welcome to you, wherever in the world you are joining from, whatever your time zone, country. Just heartwarming to be sitting with so many wonderful folks from all around the world doing this practice together. So for the theme for today's practice, exploring the interplay of metta and wisdom. Metta and wisdom. So many different ways to practice or to consider the intersection and how metta and wisdom support each other. The one way I'd like to invite us to consider is that the insight teachings or vipassana, there are three marks of existence. There are three characteristics of existence. And one of the characteristics of existence that is just the way life is thought to be in the Pali, the word dukkha, which can be translated as just a sense of unease, dis-ease, also translated as stress or kind of unsatisfactoriness. Also translated as suffering. So many different shades of dukkha. But as I was saying, I think last time, really the word itself literally means and is from a wheel and an axle that doesn't quite fit well. There's kind of an ill-fitting. There's kind of like, or kind of bumpy, kind of like lack of ease, like a bumpy ride. So the invitation to consider is, if we feel there is kind of sense of unease or dis-ease, which especially with what is happening in the world now, there might be just the general sense of unease, dis-ease, that it can show up in so many different ways. And a lot of times we might take it actually personally that, oh, I'm not doing enough. I'm not enough. Whatever the condition is, I'm not doing enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. I'm not patient enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not hardworking enough. I'm not calm enough. I'm not spiritual enough. Whatever your version of not enoughness might be, and this sense of unease or dis-ease, instead of recognizing that, oh yeah, this is part of life. This is kind of like, yeah, this is what it's like being human. There is just kind of a little bit of bumpiness, kind of like, oh, yeah, there's a rub. Things aren't always, oh, being on cloud nine and being happy and joyous and it's all great. No, there's just, yeah, there's a rub. There's a rub in being human. It's just a part of being human. So recognizing that and just saying that, as I say it, for me, my nervous system relaxes. Like, yeah, it's like this. Instead of turning to myself with judgment, like not doing this, not doing that. It's like, oh yeah, well, yes, there's always aspiration and inspiration for doing, for being, for waking up. And yet recognizing this just general dis-ease, the lack of ease, the discomfort that just could show up in so many different ways, anxiety, sadness, worry, just all these different ways that it can show up. And of course, there are ways to work with them too in the practice, but just to kind of recognize this underlying that, you know, you're not doing it wrong. You're not living wrong. It's just a part of being human. There's a part of being human that's just being human is hard, basically. Being human is not easy, is not for the faint of heart. It takes a lot of courage to go through this life with its ups and downs and physical challenges and emotional challenges and just this whole deal of being human is, it has some unease in it. So recognizing that, we can relax a little bit. Yeah, it's like this. It's not perfect. It's not supposed to be. And recognizing that imperfection actually gives a sense of appreciation for the beauty, for the perfection of the imperfection, brings up tenderness in the heart, brings up metta, compassion in the heart, for the challenges of human life. Oh yes, it's like this being human. It's like this for me and for everyone I know. It's bumpy. It's a bumpy ride. It's a part of it. It's just the part of it. And of course, we practice so that we can have more ease and freedom in the midst of bumpiness. And it's a character. Bumpiness is a characteristic of being human. So the invitation for tonight's practice is recognizing, letting our hearts relax, recognizing this bumpiness. And as our bodies relax, as our mind and hearts relax, a sense of tenderness and warm-heartedness, sense of metta, compassion can arise to meet it, can arise to meet the bumpiness in our lives, instead of self-judgment. So that's the invitation for tonight. Or today, whatever the time zone might be. So with that, I would like to invite us to get into our meditation posture. If you need to shift your body, move. If there's already some body dukkha, some creakiness, that would be helpful to meet it. Rearrange yourself. Maybe sitting a little taller, or maybe you need to move so that you can lie down. Whatever your body is calling you to do in this moment, whatever is appropriate for you. Heeding the call of your body and your heart. Landing in the body. Letting your heart, inviting your heart to land, to relax. Oh, dear heart. You can relax, dear heart. Feel safe. Taking refuge in this time, in your practice, the community. Of kind beings. Opening with kindness. With care. To your body. To your heart. Inviting different parts of the body to relax, noticing if there's any tension, tightness anywhere. Maybe your forehead, your eyes, your jaw. Inviting forehead to be smooth, to relax. As if thoughts were balloons, let them have more helium. Let them float away. And with that, allow your forehead, your eyes, your jaw to feel lighter. Your entire face. The same way that a scrunched up balloon, when blown, becomes more smooth. Let your face, your forehead, the muscles of your face, your jaw, your ears, your chin, cheeks. To feel filled out with care, with attention. Smoothed out as if a balloon, being breathed into with affection. Letting your heart feel more expansive. It too being breathed into with care and affection. Your neck and shoulders be relaxed, dropping any weight, inviting the chest, the abdomen. Feel expansive. With each breath breathed into. With goodness and care. Letting your arms be heavy, especially your hands. As if tension, tightness, fatigue was dripping melting away. Letting your sit bones, your bottom, to drop the weight, really connected to the earth. The legs, upper legs, lower legs, and feet, dropping their weight. Feel firmly rooted, connected to the earth. In this moment, this time of refuge, inviting the abdomen to receive the breath. The abdomen receiving the in-breath and the out-breath. Letting the breath be natural. You've been breathing all this time. Let the breath be natural, whatever it's been. We don't force the breath or intentionally breathe in this practice. All the doing that you do, if there is any doing, is to bring your awareness, your loving awareness, and like a butterfly, letting it rest on your belly. That's what I mean by receiving the breath in the abdomen. Let the attention rest there. Let the breath be natural, short, deep, shallow, whatever it wants to be. Just enjoying, letting there be joy and delight in the quiet, the peace of just being in this moment. And if thoughts arise, invite them to be witnessed in the abdomen together with the breath, letting them feel embodied. Instead of being somewhere around our head, invite them to have a lower center of gravity in the abdomen. settling for another minute or two, just receiving. With loving awareness. Awareness intertwined with care, with appreciation. Witnessing the breath as it arises and passes, as it fills the abdomen. And is exhaled. Letting the breath be met with a smile, as if awareness was smiling. Receiving, perceiving each breath in the abdomen. I would like to invite you if you wish to allow yourself to open up to maybe a sense of unease, dis-ease. Kind of bumpiness. About something experienced in your life. Could be a general feeling of, I don't like this. I don't want this. Kind of a sense of resistance about particular topic, particular area. It could could be kind of pervasive in general. Maybe this dukkha could also be experienced as kind of a sense of discontent with something, yourself, a situation. And best not to choose the hardest thing, maybe one of the lower ones if you're relatively new to the practice. As you bring this to mind, continuing to allow your body to be relaxed and soft for the awareness, for the attention to be receiving the breath, the abdomen, feeling embodied, feeling connected to the body, the breath, the feet, your bottom, your hands, as you open up. This discontent or unease, to breathe with it, breathe around it, let there be a sense of spaciousness, and maybe also wearing a half smile of a Buddha, a wisdom smile. Yeah, it's like this. The human condition is like this. Being human has its bumpiness. 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows. This sense of discontent, unease. It's not as if you are living wrong or doing it wrong. It's part of life. It's part of how our practice, our human life, our learning, our growing unfolds. It's the first nobling truth, the first noble truth. There is unease, dukkha, in life, and the wisdom teachings suggest that it's to be known, it's to be sat with, it's not to be run away from, but to sat with. Yeah, with a half smile of a Buddha, I invite you. Hello. Hi. Breathing in the body, letting the body be soft and relaxed. Breathing with this unease, with this dukkha. With this unsatisfactoriness. Breathing generously with it, around it, sitting with it. Not running away, not pushing it away, just sitting and breathing with it. It's like this. It's like this. And notice how the process of opening up to it with a smile, a sense of metta for yourself, a sense of warmth, kindness, appreciation, warmth for this being human. This condition of being human is like this. For each and every one of us might take a different shape or form, physically, emotionally. And it's one of the marks of existence. See how this might arise, a sense of tenderness for yourself, this human being that is you. Who often suffers with this unease, with this challenge, and all beings, all humans. Allowing your heart to open to a sense of care, compassion, tenderness for this human condition. Meeting this human condition. With a tenderness of heart. Not as if you're doing it wrong, living wrong, but a sense of tenderness, not self-judgment. And if your mind goes, but, it's okay. That too is part of the unease. In this moment, in this practice, let that too be met with tenderness. But, it's okay. Now, dear. It's okay, dear mind. Breathing. Around and with what's arising with a smile, letting your body be relaxed, and your heart spacious. And for the last minutes, I'd like to invite you, if you could, Have a bird's eye view. Of yourself, of your life, your challenges unfolding, the unease, the discontent, the dukkha, as well as so many other beings whose lives have challenges and joys just like yours. Seeing all these streams of humanity, rivers, ocean, the drops, allowing the sense of perspective to touch into a sense of tenderness. Oh, us humans, here we come, here we go. We learn, we grow. We suffer, we weep, we laugh. And none of us gets out of here alive. The last few breaths of this practice, letting there be a sense of appreciation for yourself for having showed up without attachment to outcome. No matter what happened, what didn't happen, doesn't matter. You're planting seed. You showed up and you practiced. And deep gratitude and appreciation for that. May it be of service to yourself and all beings everywhere. Thank you all for your practice. So, if you would like to share reflections, change the chat setting so you can type it so everyone can see, or if you wish, you can raise your blue hand. I'll invite you to unmute yourself by clicking on participants. Under the participants panel, there is raise hand, or if you're on an iPad, it's on the three dots. Everything is on the three dots. So wisdom, metta and wisdom. Meeting, sense of unease, this dukkha, the unsatisfactoriness, with warm heartedness. Bill says, thank you. This was exactly what I needed. Came to this with a bad attitude and upset. Feel better. Great. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that this was exactly what you needed. Yay. Thank you for showing up every time, Bill, and practicing. Judy says on YouTube, thank you. Beautiful and so, so helpful. Great. Thank you, Judy. So happy to hear that it was helpful. Yeah. Any other reflections, dear ones? Questions, comments, complaints? Denise says, I've melted with this meditation, melted in love, wisdom, and freedom. Thank you very much for your soothing guidance. Oh, you're welcome, Denise. It melts my heart hearing that you melted in love, wisdom and freedom. It brings so much joy. Yay, I feel mudita, vicarious joy for your practice, Denise. Sweet. And everything is welcome. Oh, yes. Ben says, my abdomen didn't want me to put my thoughts in it. Keep that, keep that SH something or star away from me. And it was right. In that moment, I wanted to let the thoughts be light and transitory. Great. Fantastic. I appreciate trusting your judgment, Ben. That's great. I love that. Trusting that, wanting them to be light and transitory in that moment. That's what worked. And to, and also sometimes to, you know, some, it works for many people to try to breathe it. Sometimes if the thoughts keep coming up, kind of bringing the center of gravity could be helpful and sometimes not. So I see. Let's see. It seems like April has raised their hand, but I don't see the blue. I don't see everybody's hand, by the way. So if you're physically raising them, I usually say this because this is live streamed on YouTube, and because of privacy, I'm spotlighted and I only see a few people, not everyone. So I'm sorry if I miss your physical hand. But now that somebody texted me, Vicky said, April has raised her hand. April, I'm going to ask you to please unmute yourself.
Hi.
Hi.
So this practice made me think of a quote that I heard recently, which I'm not sure I agree with. But I don't disagree, which says that kindness is more important than wisdom, and the recognition of this is the beginning of wisdom. And I was like, because that's kind of like the two wings in Buddhism.
Yeah.
Wisdom and compassion. And then you talked about like bringing wisdom into the metta. And I was like, well, maybe one's not more important than the other, but like whenever you have one without the other, you're not really flying because it's just one wing. But yeah, that's something I love to hear your thoughts about that quote. But yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I love it. Thanks for bringing that in. And you're right on about, you know, the bird needs both wings, and having just one, the bird is not going to fly, just wisdom. It makes the practice really dry, and only kindness and compassion. Then there's this term that Tibetans have, idiot compassion. It just like, it becomes enabling. It's not. So both are needed. And this quote, what I appreciate is at first it's kind of quizzical. It says, well, kindness is more important. And you go, I don't think so. But it says, well, actually, if you allow that to just be true for a moment, but then you realize that'll become you open up to wisdom, in which then the two actually, then the two are equal. So it's kind of, I feel like the quote kind of plays with your mind a little bit by actually saying something and then disagreeing with it a little later, like saying one is important, but then later saying that both are important. So I like the quote. It's kind of fun. Thanks for sharing it, April.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Let's see. We have a couple of other things that have been. Let's see. Dawn says, beautiful, tender, compassion meditation. Thank you. Gratitude. Thank you. The Sangha. Yes. Thank you to me and the Sangha and most of all this practice. Oh, sweet. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you showing up and practicing with the Sangha. Being part of the Sangha, Wendy says, helpful to deepen the exploration of the first noble truth and sit with discomfort rather than avoiding it. Yes, Wendy, right on. It's the first noble truth. Dukkha is to be known, is to be understood, is the teaching. Dukkha is to be understood. Bill says, outside of self-compassion, is there any other advice for dealing with negative thoughts? There's a whole teaching. Maybe I'll talk about that. Yeah, there's a lot. There's 5 steps in Visuddhimagga about dealing with thinking, with thoughts that keep coming up. Maybe I'll talk about it. It's a whole teaching. So Bill, maybe I'll talk about that next time. How's that? There's a lot there. Wendy says, helpful to deepen the exploration. Oh, yes, I think because I hadn't seen it again. So Wendy typed it again. And Judy also says, I definitely felt awareness touching breath, inviting dis-ease and welcoming our suffering. That is true with inclusivity and okay. So important. Yes, beautiful. Thank you. And Claire says, reminded me of the book Spirituality of Imperfection. Yes, yes, yes. Imperfection, the perfection of imperfection. Yeah, beautiful. Great. Thank you all for your reflections. And I'm cognizant of time. These are such rich reflections. So, and also I know it is so rich to practice in breakout groups. And that's the part that I keep hearing from you that really is connecting and really nourishing. So for those of you who, when I talk about small groups, want to hop off, I hope you stay if you can stay. If you have to go, understandable if you have something to do. But if you can possibly stay, especially as we're talking today about meeting, being open to suffering, being open to dukkha, and it's a human condition, hearing other people can be so nourishing in this way. So, and yes, if you have to go, completely understand. All good. Take care, Dawn. See you later. So I am going to create the rooms. And let's see. I need to recreate them. Hold on a second. Here we go. Okay. So, this is always the part that takes an extra moment or two for me to arrange. All right, here are the rooms. And the invitation is just show up with kindness towards yourself and others and see what arises. Holding each other with care, with this human condition. Here we go.
You are now in the main session.
Okay, the rooms will close in 5 seconds. And here we are. Okay, everybody's back. Wonderful. So, I would love to hear from you. How are the groups? How was your practice today? And if you would be so kind as to either type in chat or raise your blue hand, because I'm not going to see your physical hand, unfortunately. And there, Bill, please.
Hey, in our group, I'm just kind of recounting how just the negative emotions just flood the mind to the point where it just seems like everything is, it's hard to pull away and be objective. Doing this absolutely helped me. I mean, the practice here today, but it's hard sometimes. You know, it just, you get on a few negative thoughts and suddenly that's your whole world.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, yeah. So since you brought it up again, the negative thoughts, Bill. So I'll mention just a few quickly. So there are different methods. One that's suggested is actually, and these invitations. There are five different ways to work. Actually, there is a talk. There are talks on audio dharma. Actually, this is what I'm going to suggest instead of giving a whole long talk about it. There's a talk on audio dharma, and if I can find it, it's on working with thoughts. There are five ways of working with thoughts as they keep coming up, and they're kind of progressively they get it's like a bigger hammer. So, you know, there's sometimes the earlier ones are you just ignore the thoughts. You imagine they're flies. They're just flying around. You're like, oh, okay, they come and go. There's also there's an idea of a thought replacement, a Buddhist thought replacement. So that's one of the suggestions. And then the last one, and then there are a couple of other ones. And then the last one is an interesting instruction that you just how does it go? It's you push your tongue to the roof of your mouth and you just push the thought away. That's like the last, like that, you know, that's this biggest hammer. It's like you can really turn your mind away from it. But before that, there are a few other. I suggest that you find this talk. It's about working with thoughts. And there are five different ways. And if you can't find it, you can message me and I'll try to help you. But it's definitely on Audio Dharma. Gail has talked about it. And I think I have talked about it too. But fine. Yeah, Gail has talked about it multiple times. So that can help. Great. Thank you. And Claire, I see your hand is up, please.
I had shared in my group, and it's so relevant to what you're discussing. I was very fortunate to have been led to work with one of the founders of the School of Cognitive Therapy. And it's all about changing your thoughts. And it was incredibly helpful. And this man was world famous, and he was one of the most humble people you would ever meet. He always saw himself as just as fallible and messed up as all the rest of us. And he expressed it so clearly that he never tried to think of himself as better, but he was always trying to help us find new ways of seeing what we were thinking.
Nice.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. Lovely. What a gift that is clear, yeah. Claire, that it was a gift and it left such an impression, not just what he's taught, but the way he taught. He taught by example of showing up in a particular way. And I'm glad you're bringing up this thought replacement, because often in Buddhism, we usually don't do thought replacement, but there are teachings in the Visuddhimagga, in the Path of Purification, this 1,000-page book manual that, thought replacement is one of the methods. It's not the primary method. We usually don't do it. Usually observe it. You see it coming, going, all that. But it's in there. It can be skillfully used, not as a primary method, but it can skillfully be used. Thank you. I see it's 7:02. Wow, time flies when you're having fun practicing and discussing the Dharma. So, dear ones, we have come to the end of our time together. Thank you so much for showing up and practicing for your own freedom, waking up, and all those whose use your life touches, directly and indirectly, may you be safe, happy, healthy, well, and free, and all beings everywhere too. So I'm going to ask you to all unmute yourself if you like to say goodbye, if you wish.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, Nikki. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki.
Bye, Nikki.
Bye.
Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Sarah.
Take care. Bye, everyone.
Night-night.
Night-night. Late night. Bye-bye, Claire.